Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn alongside Glenn West. And Glenn, it's a holiday of sorts, I guess we could call it. The official end date here on Tuesday, April 30th, of when the transfer portal window closes. Precursor to that, paperwork can still go in. You have up to 3 days to make that public. So we're still going to see some names trickle out across the country here in the early days of May. But Glenn, the portal window has been kind of a crazy one. We saw some movement early. We saw kind of this trickle-down effect. LSU has had a couple of guys enter. But wanted to get your thoughts as we lead it off here. Defensive line has been a need. Some dominoes have fallen, not in LSU's favor. Rate 1 to 10, 1 to 5, whatever scale you prefer. What's your concern level with where LSU sits as this portal window closes and what they need kind of when you look at this roster?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm probably sitting at around a 3 if we're on 1 to 5, you know, 2-3 range, maybe 2.5, you know, kind of in the middle there, because I do think that we're kind of in a spot here where you know, LSU has gotten some of these guys on campus. You know, they had Simeon Barrow, the Michigan State transfer, on last week. They've had, you know, a guy that you got to spend a little time conversing with, Philip Bleedy, who was on campus a couple weeks ago. And, you know, both of those guys, you know, Bleedy's case, he's already committed to Auburn. It really looks like Barrow is focusing in on Miami right now. He's, I think, either on that visit or just wrapping up that visit. So, and look, LSU is in a spot here where they are competing with a lot of the top programs in the country because the defensive tackle market is so, you know, lucrative right now in terms of just the teams that need them. And we've said this even from, you know, before the portal window opened. We knew this was going to be the position in terms of you got to be really competitive with your pitch, with your NIL stuff. I mean, you've got to be up there in order to land one of these top guys. And so, you know, they are, you know, they're still in the process right now of trying to figure out who that's going to be. We've always kind of, I think, assumed that we would want to go, or LSU would want to go with two, bring in two more defensive tackles to really feel good about yourself there. If you can bring in one of these upper echelon guys and then maybe one depth piece, I think you feel a lot better about the situation. But it's really about locking in on that number one plug and play, don't have to worry about it starter that you can have next to Jacobian Guillory come fall. And I think they're still sifting through that. I mean, they've got Dominic Williams, who I'm sure we'll touch on more here as the pod goes along, but he's big guy, TCU transfer. He's been on Texas's campus. He's been to Oklahoma, and now he's kind of wrapping things up here with LSU. And it sounds like he might be honing in on this, on a decision after he makes the LSU visit. So could see some more dominoes start to fall here relatively quickly.
Yeah. You mentioned, and I wanted to get into that. We're going to talk about Dominic Williams, but obviously, it kind of feels like to me, Glenn, you know, they added the young man from Wisconsin earlier in the spring. And that kind of feels like an afterthought at this point because so much across the college football world has happened in the meantime. Yeah. But that's kind of like that's a stopgap guy. That's what we'll refer to him. It's a one-year plug. He's going to be a rotational piece. If you could somehow get, and I like what you were going with this, a guy who can be a high-level starter, maybe he uses – it's a guy like Dominic Williams uses this year to propel himself towards the NFL. And then you could go get a guy with maybe 2 to 3 years of experience left that has some college experience, but he isn't a true freshman where he hasn't experienced the college game to help you. I think, Glenn, when Bo Davis looks at this roster, just kind of balance out where you are between, you know, incoming freshmen for the 2025 class, true freshman 2024, and kind of this upper echelon of juniors and seniors that could leave this year. I mean, they really need some middle ground. So I like what you said. People might look at it as, okay, an A tier and a B tier. Maybe it is. I mean, you know, Dominic Williams is certainly an A tier type of guy. But I think a couple of these guys, and I had the chance to talk with Taufik Thomas, defensive lineman from Louisville, and he kind of sits in that category to me as a guy who has played a little bit of college football. He's not on, you know, that A list for a lot of the big programs, LSU, Texas, like you mentioned, but he's a guy who has college experience and he could go help you out in a rotational and maybe grow into that to try to balance out a roster. So I think that's a very interesting. I don't know. I mean, we're not inside the walls, Glenn. It does feel like that should be the mentality when they say, hey, we probably want to get two guys, one that can help now, one that we can, you know, continue to build this room around.
Yeah, and I think another name you can probably throw in there is Johnny Bowens III, mm-hmm. who an Oregon transfer who was a true freshman this last year. Didn't play a whole ton. I think he only had 2 or 3 tackles on the season. But he was a 4-star prospect, 93 overall on 24/7 sports rankings out of high school. And he was down there from Converse, Texas, and you know, he was really considering, you know, the Longhorns when Bo Davis was over there. So he's, you know, he's somebody that, you know, you kind of look at and you say, okay, they have that relationship already there, you know, with Bo Davis. That one's already built. Like we said, I think you're going to try to go after your top end guys first. I mean, I think that has to be the priority, which is why you're seeing, you know, Dominic Williams and Barrow and all these guys get on campus here over the last couple weeks. And then I think you kind of move into the guys that are going to help with your depth. And I think the name you mentioned, and certainly I think Bowens also falls into that category as well. So like there's options out there. Like, I mean, the one thing that I have seen a little bit of, and it's been on our board, it's been kind of across social media and stuff, is like, I think it's getting to the point where it's like, okay, when is something going to happen? And I think the big thing that I've been saying the last couple of days is like, every one of these defensive tackle prospects is taking their time. Like, nobody's rushing to a decision. So, you know, there's everyone's still out there, essentially. I mean, Blitty is the only one that's committed in terms of guys that, you know, LSU was in on and kind of had on for a visit. You know, Barrow has not made an official decision. You know, Williams has not made an official decision here. And I think, you know, that means something, you know, the fact that they're taking their time and they're evaluating every situation, you know, they're not jumping at the first big NIL offer that they get. You know, I think that they wanted to make their visits and they wanted to see what each program could offer them. And so I do think, you know, a little bit of patience here is needed, but certainly LSU has to close on one of these guys. I mean, like they have to, and I think that you're going to see them be aggressive, but it's just how aggressive is their most aggressive, and is it going to be enough to overcome what maybe a Texas will do to get a player, or Oklahoma, or some of these other schools that are in the mix for some of these highly coveted players. So it's tough, man. I mean, you've got to balance a lot now. Instead, and it's not just, you know, Brian Kelly did a great job of bringing on this defensive staff, and I think you're going to see the returns of that in, you know, a year or two. But in terms of immediate and in terms of portal guys, they're just so different, especially in this spring portal window. Mm-hmm. The things that they're considering are so different than what you're preaching or pitching to a high school prospect or even a winter window portal guy who might have years of eligibility left and you know, just is looking for that step up or that next spot at a big program. I think it really is the spring portal window. I think it's just it's a free for all, and I think that's why you're seeing so many of these guys kind of take their time and see what each program has to offer.
And two, I mean, I was talking with someone, and they used kind of the word crapshoot. Like, at least in the winter portal window, Glenn, you have the spring ball to kind of determine. And really, it's been a weeding out process. We've seen a lot of guys jump back into the portal because, hey, what we thought we were getting is not what it is. And those cuts have been made. LSU has made some of those cuts. This is where you don't get to see them truly in an on-the-field setting till fall camp. By that time, it's really too late to kind of try to find additions for your roster. Now, I say that, knock on wood. God bless the NCAA if they do something for fall camp that involves the portal. That would be absolutely nuts. Free agency right up until LSU plays there at you against USC in Vegas. Well, that would be wild.
Speaking on that a little bit, I mean, I believe it was Pete Thamel of ESPN broke yesterday that they're you know, in deep discussions right now on kind of what a regulations would look like in terms of NIL for colleges. So, you know, well, I'm sure there's every coach in America right now that's doing the pleading sign for that or whatever it is that they want to have happen. So, that would be obviously a huge step forward. Again, nothing seems imminent on that front. I mean, it was just like a story that's saying that they're in deep discussions on what that structure looks like, but then actually going out there and getting that structure, you know, approved and kind of regulated and all that stuff, it's going to take a while. So like there's nothing imminent there, but you know, in the meantime, if you're a college coach or if you're a college organization, you've got to just kind of go forward with the hand you're dealt, and that's, you know, putting together as great a packages as you can for these players, especially in the spring portal window when it's, like you said, it's slim pickings in terms of just, you know, the amount of guys that are hopping in. It's very much, you know, down from the winter portal window, and that makes, you know, it makes your job a lot tougher when you're going up against three or four schools for one guy, and you've got to really make sure that your offer and your pitch and all that stuff, the opportunity to develop and get to the next level, is a lot of what are on these guys' minds right now, because you know, these are mainly older players. I mean, there's a couple of young guys that have hopped in the spring, but these are guys that are looking, like you mentioned, to get to the next level and to get developed and to start and to play a lot. And you know, you're a defensive tackle and you're looking at the situation LSU has. I mean, it would make sense, you know, when you have Bo Davis on board, when you have some of these new defensive additions that they've made, it makes sense. LSU makes a lot of sense for a lot of these guys. It's just, can they come to the table with the NIL to make it really to kind of push them over the edge?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Yeah, and maybe one of the better pitches happened this past weekend with Devondre Sweat and Byron Murphy both being drafted from Texas. Yeah. Bo Davis can turn and say, hey, look, those guys that heard their name called, they played for me. And I think when you combine, maybe we're biased, Glenn, when you combine the aspect of there's not a more advantageous situation for a young man to come in and compete for a job and also have a chance to win a championship, it feels like Texas, LSU, and I think there's a drop-off after that. Just when you hear about some of the teams that are, in the mix for defensive linemen, we know it's a hot market right now, but those two teams feel like the best teams poised. I'm not saying they're one or two pieces away, but I think they're built, to be a team that could play in the playoffs. So if you want that, exposure. I don't know if people are watching this, and that's our recruiting pitch, I guess.
I mean, USC is probably another one out west that is going to attract some guys. I mean, like Derek Harmon is really true. Seems like that's going to be a serious option for him. So like there's other schools out there, but in terms of playing in the SEC and playing for teams that want to play at in that 12-team playoff next year, Texas and LSU I think are the two that really feel like the ones that are going to be kind of competing against one another for a couple of these guys. Miami certainly with Barrow, but it's going to be super interesting to hear just kind of what comes out of this Williams visit here. He's going to be on campus all day today on Tuesday. He's going to be on campus on Wednesday, and then I think head back sometime on Wednesday, maybe in the afternoon or night or something. So, like, they're going to get a good couple days with him to kind of make that pitch, and it'll be very interesting to hear kind of what comes out of that, because I do think that you're in a position, if you're LSU, where if you look at the roster, you've got pretty much every position in terms of numbers settled. Like, I mean, they have numbers at every other position except for defensive tackle. And I think they feel a lot better about the secondary than maybe the spring game should. They were very, like we've mentioned before, they were very vanilla with their packages and didn't put those guys in really great positions to have success against the offense. But there's still a lot of work to be done on this defense, and I think it has to start from. I think that they have some really good young pieces to work around. I mean, Dominic McKinley is another one that, like, I mean, we haven't talked about him because he's just not on campus yet. But can the five-star come in and develop pretty quickly under Bo Davis and get ready to be a rotational piece this year? I think that's certainly in the conversation. I mean, when you look at just kind of who else is in that room right now, I mean, I think he, you know, he's somebody that could absolutely put a guy like Sean Washington or Akeemo Makinyole or some of these other guys that are Jalen Lee, some of these other older veterans maybe that LSUers are hoping can be pieces, but maybe don't have the high upside of a young player like McKinley. So just, you know, lots of options here to go through, but certainly I think the Williams one here is the most immediate in terms of just what he would be able to do, what a commitment from him would mean for this defense. Somebody was mentioning it on our board. Would Williams be the way that we're talking about it, would he be the biggest pickup in the last like year for LSU in terms of additions to the roster? I mean, like, I'm trying to run through my head of guys that they've added over the last year that would be comparable in terms of just the need and the fit at the position.
When you combine those, it might be.
Yeah. Like, I really can't think of any right now off the top of my head. I'm trying to immediately go to offense and think of like a receiver, but like, I mean, it was Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas last year who were a part of your first class coming in here a couple of years ago. I think that there has been no greater need to fill at LSU in terms of trying to blend fit and what a player would be able to contribute at that interior defensive line than what they're doing right now. I mean, like they have had needs in the past, of course, you know, with defensive back, and certainly by landing Jaden Daniels a couple of years ago was obviously the big one, but I don't think that there's been a bigger need here over the last year or so in terms of what hitting on that player would do for this team is really, really, really important for LSU.
Yeah. And you talk about, you know, you mentioned when the question of when are these dominoes going to fall? One thing to remember with Philip Bleedy, this is a guy that entered the portal in late March. He was a grad transfer, so he had already been in the portal for a while, had started taking visits. Kind of this group that entered the portal over the last 2 weeks. Yeah, we've seen some dominoes fall. But, you know, and I'm not going to spoil it because I do want people to go read it. Sonny Shipp did a fantastic piece, an interview with a mentor of Williams that is great, kind of provides some insight into kind of what they're viewing and what they're seeing from their perspective of the going into the visit, where essentially Williams, you know, worked out for Coach O a couple of years ago, he was a little bit, I'll say, leaner at that time, but now he's high on the board. And you look at the stats, Glenn, I've got them pulled up right here. Over his two-year career at TCU, he's got 60 tackles, 9.5 from loss and 4.5 sacks. Glenn, from the interior, I think if you see that from LSU fans, like, hey, we got to go get him. That is, you have to be able to create disruption and pressure up the middle. Williams fits that bill. We can end it right here with this question, because it's great to talk about. Look, it's cool to talk about, hey, here's a guy that you need, but we know what this is. And I know in the interview, I will spoil this part. They say, hey, NIL is not what we're walking into the room as the biggest priority, but we know it's a factor. Like that's going to be a factor no matter what. Where do you realistically see LSU in the NIL game? Because I think if they have not had to pony up, like we know they've ponied up in other areas, but this feels like a situation where you may have to go into a depth of NIL that maybe you haven't done before because it's such an immediate need. Yeah. I agree with you. This defensive staff, I think, is going to be better next year with different personnel and in years to come. But for 2024, I mean, look, we talk about it like it's free agency. You might have to overpay to get the guy that you really, really want.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think when you ask that question about NIL, I think the focus for LSU in that landscape has been on player retention, and it's been on incoming high school players to a degree. There are high school players that you will say, okay, here's what we can set up for you once you get here. And this is what you can even do to elevate that as you play. I mean, Harold Perkins is the perfect example as a, you know, high schooler. You know, I think that was something that was absolutely discussed. And then, you know, certainly after his freshman year, when he blew up, LSU did a lot of things to get him to stay and to keep him around. So I think the player retention angle of it is the most important part for Kelly. You know, he talked about that just ad nauseum, really, towards the end of the regular season last year. And, you know, they did a, I would say, a decent job. I mean, you would have loved to have seen a guy like Mason Smith or Mekhi Wingo stick around, but Mason Smith was a second-round pick. I mean, for all that stuff that we said about, man, Mason should not have gone to the draft, or, man, what kind of information is he getting? He was a second-round pick, so he obviously made all of us look foolish because of that. And, you know, Wingo ended up being a sixth-round pick. I think the ways that he could have impacted or helped that situation at D-tackle, but – yeah, look, I think this is a little bit different though. When you talk about portal guys, especially in the spring window here, you know, there's some leverage. If there's a position of need out there and there's other teams that are interested, there's leverage there. And I think you don't get that as much maybe in the spring window, just because there are so many guys that are entering in the winter window, you know, once the season ends. But, you know, like we've seen here over the last couple weeks, like that there's a couple of guys that you kind of look at as immediate contributors, immediate instant impact guys. And then there's just a bunch of like, okay, if we bring this guy in, maybe he develops into something, maybe he doesn't. And LSU's just really not in a position right now where they can afford to bring in multiple of those kinds of guys. Like they have to find somebody that can be an instant impact player. Kelly's talked about it being the only real position of need that LSU needs to go in and get a piece from. And I think that's got to be the primary focus here. I think you look at other positions like cornerback, like maybe a punter, maybe a running back, but those are just, you know, I think those are just filler spots at this point, because you are pretty far underneath the 85 man limit. I mean, we've got them at 81. Yeah. You know, so like you're not going to bring in, I don't think, four defensive tackles and to get to that 85. So you have some wiggle room there to add to other places, but it's got to start with a defensive tackle. And I think we're going to learn a lot about just how aggressive LSU can be when they have something that, like you mentioned, is this immediate of a need. Like this is one of those weeks, or these are a couple of those weeks here in the off season that could really wind up defining LSU's season. Like if LSU comes out and they get one of these big guys and they go in there and their run defense is tremendously improved in 2024, I think we're going to look back and we're going to say, man, what a big pickup this guy was in terms of you know, helping out and getting this defense to be a better place. And if they don't, and they go out there and they're very similar in terms of the run game next year, then you also kind of look at this and you go, man, what a big miss that was, or what a big, you know, kind of opportunity that was to kind of get somebody in here that, you know, could have helped. So big decisions here over the next couple of weeks, really over the next couple of days, it sounds like, if this Williams thing comes together pretty quickly after his visit. So lots to work through there, and we'll certainly keep everybody updated on it. But those are just kind of where I'm at with the NIL deal with LSU. You know, it really seems more roster focused in terms of player retention, and then also picking your spots, I think, and because they don't have the endless well of resources. I don't think that maybe a couple of the higher programs do. I don't think every team in the SEC is dishing out, you know, huge paydays to everybody. Like there's a limit, I think, on everything, and I think we saw that in the last, you know, couple of recruiting cycles. So once we get some regulations on this, man, I just know everybody's going to sleep a lot easier. It's just getting there is going to take a little bit, and just not sure when that's going to happen.
Yeah, and I'm with you there too. I mean, I think that there are some limits to me, the three teams that stand out in terms of, you know, maybe not as now as much as before under their previous head coach, but Texas A&M was obviously in that. I think A&M's still a major player. Texas, one of the new SEC teams, and then Ole Miss as well. Those are the three teams that feel like they're trying to make their living with that. And look, that's how you build it. That's how they decide to build a program.
And then out west, I would throw USC in there as well. I think SC is definitely Got some pockets. Got some deep pockets.
Especially as they join that new upgraded Big Ten conference too. They gotta make sure they line those pockets. But Glenn's great stuff. And like we mentioned, head over to Go247. Sonny had a great update here on Tuesday morning that can really give you some insight into Williams and his camp, what they're feeling. I thought it was a great piece. I know you did as well, just kind of outlining. We're going to have more from that as that visit concludes. And then just some other targets as well that maybe, you know, LSU's talking to. Reminder, the portal closes today in terms of guys being able to submit their names. What does that mean? You can't submit your name after today to your own athletic department or to the NCAA to enter. Paperwork's still going to be filed. I am telling you there's going to be some kid, maybe not LSU, who's going to enter the portal tomorrow, and people are going to say, what? That doesn't make sense. Well, that's why the paperwork has to be filed. Look, paperwork takes time at all places. So there's that. So keep an eye out for that. But commitments and visits can still occur. So that is something we're going to obviously keep you updated on. Head over to Go247, get that VIP subscription. You're not going to want to miss some great conversation there as well. And, man, we hope to see you on the message boards. He's Glenn West. My name's Bryce Kuhn. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're watching on YouTube, leave us a like, subscribe, and comment as well. Leave me your thoughts on LSU's NIL situation as they look for this transfer defensive lineman, one or two. And if you're listening, whether that's on Spotify or Apple, we appreciate you over there as well. We'll catch you next time here on the Go247 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.